Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
Now, when Donald Trump took to the podium to claim victory at Mar-a-Lago in the early hours of Wednesday morning of last week, he was surrounded by his extended family, some of whom he had recruited to work in his first administration in the White House. Now, attention turns once again to how the relationship between the Trump dynasty and the West Wing will work this time around. Our reporter Simon Tierney has been examining America's new first family, and he joins me now. Simon, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
So who exactly stood next to Trump during the victory speech, and what clues does that family photograph give us about the coming years?
Well, the first thing that really struck me, Pat, I don't know if you noticed this, is Barron, the youngest child, when he was wheeled out with the rest of the family members on the early hours of Wednesday morning. Now, he was just a whippersnapper, 11 years of age in the last White House, just a boy. This time, he's a towering 6'7" little version of his father. He looked uncannily.
Oh, well, he looks like a bit like Melania too,
I think. A little bit like Melania, but he really does look like his father. So he's studying business now at the liberal bastion of NYU, which is quite an interesting contrast. But also making up the family photo were his other kids. So you've got Tiffany, his youngest daughter, who he had with his second wife, Marla Maples. She didn't play any role in the last White House. She was in college at that time. Ivanka, his eldest daughter, was there with her husband, Jared. And of course, his sons, Eric and Don Jr. were there too.
Now, what about Melania? She didn't appear much during the race, did she?
Well, she was by his side during his victory speech, but definitely curiously absent from most of the campaign this time round, Pat. She has recently expressed her departure from her husband's ideas in a more vociferous way, a more open and forthright public persona, I would say, on the publication of her memoir. And she had this to say on Fox News.
You are staunchly for a woman's right to choose. You are pro-choice. You write, it is imperative to guarantee that women have autonomy in deciding their preference in having children based on their own convictions, free from intervention or pressure from government. Had you spoken to President Trump about that before you wrote that in the book?
Yes, he knew my position and my beliefs since the day we met. I believe in individual freedom. I want to decide what I want to do with my body. I think I don't want government in my personal business. I think it's very important. And I, as I said in the book, and it's very well explained in the chapter, what does really my body, my choice means?
That's fairly clear.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, unlike in the previous administration, she really came out with her own views there, departure from her husband.
Ivanka, the eldest daughter, and her husband Jared, they were very active in Trump's first administration, and in the process, they became extremely wealthy. Now, how that unfolded, we don't know, but their net worth was a lot more at the end of his term than at the beginning of his term. What exactly did they do in the administration?
Yeah, well, their involvement was rightly very controversial from the get-go, Pat. Was Trump engaging in outright nepotism? How could appointments like this sit with the Congressional Ethics Committee? Just days after taking office, Trump appointed his son-in-law as special advisor. Then 2 months later, Ivanka was brought on board in an official capacity. Now, she said at the time, quote-unquote, I have heard the concerns some have with my advising the president in my personal capacity while voluntarily complying with all ethics rules, and I will instead serve as an unpaid employee in the White House office, subject to all of the same rules as other federal employees.
Now, there was one particular event in Berlin in 2017 which gives us an insight into Ivanka's problematic position.
This is the first thing that always comes into my mind, Pat, when I recall her work for the administration. I remember just how awkward German Chancellor Angela Merkel was in hosting Ivanka at the W20 event that year. Her position sort of defied categorization. Was she an official envoy of the US government, or was she just there to validate her dad? Have a listen to her response to a question during a panel discussion at that event, which I think illustrates the bizarre situation she found herself in.
Sadly, the United States is one of the only countries in the world, the only developed country in the world, that doesn't have a paid leave policy for the benefit of families. So that is something I'm very, very proud of my father's advocacy, long before he came into the presidency, but during the campaign, including in the primaries. He's been a tremendous champion of supporting families and enabling them to thrive in the new reality of
hear the reaction from the audience. So I need to address one more point. Some attitudes towards women your father has publicly displayed in former times might leave one questioning whether he's such an empower for women. How do you relate to that? Or are things changing? Or what's your comment on that?
I've certainly heard the criticism from the media, and that's been perpetuated. But I know from personal experience, and I think the thousands of women who have worked with and for my father for decades when he was in the private sector are a testament to his belief and solid conviction in the potential of women.
Extraordinary answer. I mean, she's his daughter. What's she going to say? Anyway,
exactly.
That was her speaking, Ivanka Trump speaking in Berlin in 2017. What about her husband, Trump's son-in-law, Jared?
Yeah, so Jared arrived in the White House with quite a lot of baggage, Pat. He and his wife had a substantial business portfolio, which of course they'd been obliged to divest from in order to officiate as government employees. But did they really divest? Did they entirely divest? The watchdog group Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington found that they continued to profit from their business interests, from Ivanka's ownership stake in the Trump International Hotel in D.C., if you remember, was a real hotbed of Trump's acolytes during his administration, to Jared's continued stake in a property investment firm. This investigation found that the couple made outside earnings of, get this, at least $172 million while ostensibly working for the White House.
So if they did divest, they should give your man who was running their divested interests a bonus.
Exactly.
For running their business so well. But no one believes they actually divested at all. Now, apart from the conflict of interest that's at play here, Kushner is probably best known in terms of the administration for his participation in the negotiation of the so-called Abraham Accords.
Yeah, so Kushner really became known for his work on Middle East policy in the Trump White House. He's a Jewish man himself, of course, and Ivanka had actually converted to marry him. He is also a longtime family friend of Netanyahu, and he became the architect of these the Abraham Accords. This was a 2020 agreement between Israel, the UAE and Bahrain, and it saw those two Arab nations recognizing Israeli sovereignty for the first time, which was a pretty big deal.
Yeah, and of course the ambition would be to resuscitate the Abraham Accords in some way, but the landscape in the Middle East very different
very
now.
Very different, yeah.
Now, moving on from that first Trump administration, how do you think the family will be reflected in the West Wing this time? Will it be more of the same, or have things shifted a bit?
I think it'll be quite different, Pat. Jared Kushner has already ruled out a return to the White House, at least in an official capacity. Ivanka really took a step back after Trump left office. My feeling is that she'll be replaced by his new right-hand woman, Lara Trump. Now, who's Lara? She is the daughter-in-law. She's the wife of his second eldest child, Eric. She's now very much a powerhouse in the GOP in her own right since she became the co-chair of the Republican National Committee earlier this year, Pat. And she really helped to rake in quite a bit of cash for the campaign too.
And she was front and centre at the Republican National Convention.
Yeah, she gave one of the keynote speeches at the convention in July. She's sort of an acolyte who she's proven to be, in my view, in complete denial on a number of fronts, claiming that only one person died during the January 6th riots, repeatedly casting doubt on the veracity of the 2020 election result. Now, in this clip, we'll hear from a snippet of her RNC speech. But first, I want to play a little clip that went viral during the closing days of the presidential campaign when she defended Trump's record on race during a radio interview, causing the presenter, Charlemagne the God, to burst into laughter.
A lot of people feel that Trump is racist. And what do you say to that? You know, in 73, of course, it was when he got sued for not renting to African-Americans, and 89 when he took out the ad in the paper, and I mean, even saying Obama wasn't born here and show his birth certificate, and there's numerous things. So what do you say to that?
Well, I think that's ridiculous. I've known this man for 16 years, and, you know, you can go to each of those incidents, and, you know, there was never any proof of anything with the houses that you're talking about.
He settled that, though, right?
Yeah, they settled that. That was, and there was no admission of anything there. You know, Central Park Five, there were so many people. You had a Democrat, Governor Democrat, DA who prosecuted the guys, and they admitted to it. There were a lot of people in New York
at that
time. They
were exonerated and freed, and there was never an apology, never sorry, never
a
my bad.
However, I will say that you have to look at somebody and what they actually have done. And Donald Trump really was very beneficial to the black community when he was in the White House. I will say I've never seen this man say a racist thing. I think the attacks are fairly... Why is that funny, Charlemagne?
I'm just laughing. It's hysterical.
I dare anyone trying to leave a Trump rally without leaving with some new friends. You always make friends out of Trump rally, right? Veterans, teachers, blue-collar workers, white-collar workers, active-duty military, police officers, firefighters, small business owners, Latino supporters, Christian supporters, Jewish supporters, black supporters, white supporters, Asian supporters, gay supporters, Republicans, independents, and yes, even Democrats. At a Trump rally, you're not viewed as your profession, your religion, or the color of your skin. You're viewed as one thing, an American.
Powerful stuff from her. Fair play to her. She's a good orator.
Yeah, I think she's going to be featuring quite heavily in the new administration, Pat.
Yeah. Now, if she is hired and brought on board, what's the law regarding having family members? Because most famously, you had John F. Kennedy and Robert Kennedy, his brother, as Attorney General.
Yeah, I think it's a grey area, right? And this is where it gets interesting for me, because this was investigated during the first administration by the Ethics Committee. The rules generally suggest that employees of government agencies can't hire their relatives, Pat. But an opinion from the Justice Department in 2017 decided that the White House itself appears to be exempt and that the president has special hiring authority, that the White House isn't necessarily a government agency, bizarrely. Now, that doesn't make it right, of course. For me, this is yet further evidence of how the flaunting of reasonably accepted conventions in his first term will pave the way for further nepotism in his second administration.
We shall see. Anyway, the rules don't apply to him, as we know.
No.
And where they do apply to him, he's going to change them.
Exactly.
So they don't affect him.
And he has a Supreme Court to back that up.
Simon Tierney, thank you very much for joining us.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello!
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.